Blog Talk Radio.
Urban Glory Radio. Simply glory.
This is the day that the Lord is. For that opportunity to be able to tonight, we're going to continue our study on connected. So I want to get that curriculum. Go on our web, find out how you can download. Some of the three entitled The Culture of Generosity Commentary. To fulfill the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and get right into the lesson because I have a lot to give you tonight. This is the day that you have made me rejoice in the God. Is the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make the gospel of Jesus. We experience everything in God to be clear on Jesus. The wisdom of God, Holy Spirit, I say, have faith. Do what I want to do. Anoint his ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Be glorified. It's in the name of Jesus, we do praise and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Is our foundational text. We'll get right into the lesson. This was thought necessary to accept the brethren, that it would be up beforehand your bounty. Wherefore ye had noticed before that he's talking to you sometimes. But this I say, also spare him. He this and God intends for it to exist in goods, both spiritually, physically, both socially, both in society, every part of the kingdom of God. If you are part of the kingdom of God, able to live a life. Want to address? A lot of things going on. We don't know. We get a sense of things based on what the Apostle Paul said. And he said, is the second division. Dressed in the spirit, were not being a counterculture, infiltrated as a result. As a result, the enemy played heavily on people's minds. I apologize, and deceived them. So Paul writes to them to bring reformation by bringing back the revelation and the cause of the revelation to why they're standing as a church. They were a church in a political setting, a church set to influence the city of Corinth, which was near the capital of Greece, and it was near Greece, and it was an influential church, not as quite as influential as the book of Romans, as we'll see in another study, but it was particularly influential in this particular chapter. So in this particular setting that we're reading in Corinthians. But by the time of the second division, he lets them know that he doesn't need no condemnation, commendation, because of the fact that they had wanted to know if he had the right to speak to them in such tone. He had established the church anyway. So he said, I don't need your commendation because you yourselves are our letters written and known by everybody. Meaning the way you conduct yourself as a Christian is exemplified in what you do. Not only in what you say, but in what you do and how you act. And as a result of your actions, we have to correct those things. He goes from addressing them sharply to saying, I cannot believe that you are not acting correctly, to you having this ministry, to taking on the very essence and the convictions of the Lord Jesus Christ, so the church could be added as such should be saved. Now, Corinthians, you cannot look at this chapter and isolate a theology out there. You know, of course, you know, people use the metaphor that he uses here. He who soweth sparingly also reaps sparingly. He who soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And I have problems with the wording of it because what people have done is they've created a doctrine out of this sowing and reaping to the point that it has been misconstrued. The essence of the text was not that. The essence was to make certain that the provision and the quality of ministry that you were receiving, that you were also prepared for by giving and doing your part in the ministry of the gospel, which was being a generous giver, being conscious that not only is the call of the gospel necessary and the convictions that you receive from the gospel, but there are corresponding actions that are seen based on your giving. Now, you know, because this is not a church service and this is not a minister's meeting, you don't have to feel pressured. I'm not going to take an offering on this broadcast. But we are going to talk about offerings. We're going to look historically tonight at some offerings. But we want to deal with this creating this counterculture that we should be creating. As Christians, we should look at the manner in which we live and see if it meets the standards in which Christ Jesus presented as a solution that was superior to the cultures of this world. We are to no longer conform to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Now, our goal is to present the body of Christ as the counterculture and a solution to developing an authentic culture of generosity by developing people set on giving to the body of Christ. Now, can you honestly say to yourself that you're really giving to the body of Christ? That you're really investing financially into the things of God, that you're really consulting God as to how to prioritize your financial agenda? Or are you expecting him to create provisions for assignments that he never sanctioned? Are you expecting him to bless you knowing that you're not doing your contributive responsibility to ensure that the ministry of his word get sent to the masses of the world? Are you doing your part? And if you cannot confidently say that I am doing what it takes, whether that be financial, whether that be a commitment to continue to support the works through labor, through sacrificial acts, this is the time that we are examining ourselves. The Bible tells us emphatically to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. And the faith had distinguishing qualities, and that was the characteristics of Christ. And Christ, hallelujah, the Bible says in Philippians that Christ became obedient even to death on the cross. That means he was sacrificial. He made himself of no reputation. Taking on the form and fashion of a man, he humbled himself to the obedience of death on the cross. Therefore, God so highly exalted him. Exaltation comes as a result of our supplication or our sacrificial act into the things of God. And so this is what this message challenges us to do. It challenges us to look at, are we really being generous? And, hey, you don't need to wait for your pastor to call for an offering. You need to make a decision as a member of the body of Christ to do your part, whether that be financially, whether that be strengthening through committing consistency to your actions and contributing to the overall causes of Christ. And if you cannot confidently say, hey, this is what I've done for the kingdom of God. This is what I've given for the kingdom of God. These are the sacrifices that I make. This message, it is for you. And you know, ultimately, you know, no one likes to talk about this subject, but as I was told, I hadn't really done, I've done side commentaries on this subject, but I didn't do a curriculum. So there is a curriculum. It's called the Culture of Generosity Curriculum, given by the, yours truly. I'm giving a systematic study on giving as a whole. And if you get that culture of generosity, you will know how to be committed, how to be connected, and then how to be commissioned. Amen. Now, generous giving is sacrificial, something that only some people are spiritually gifted for. Now, there's a spiritual gifting called people that are anointed with faith to give. Now, there is a group of people that are specially gifted, but it also can be taught through others because all of us have been given the responsibility of stewardship, meaning that whatever God has entrusted us with us, whether it be financially, physically, socially, emotionally, or spiritually, we have been given the ability to manage it under the excellency and the order of God. If we are Christians, we submit to that order when we make Jesus our Lord. So we know that generous giving is a sacrificial act. It is something that some people are spiritually gifted for, but everyone can achieve. Generous giving is a gospel issue. Encouraging churches to share with other churches and ministries that are in need. See, James reminds us that giving should not only be seen in profession of faith, but it also should be seen in our everyday life. Giving of our time, our talents, our treasures, for the because we trust God, who will provide for us, and we also believe in that he will triumph and cause us to triumph in life. And if we're triumphing in Christ, we will give to the causes of Christ. And then generous giving is motivated by challenges that the church has. And we match impoverished situations through systematic giving, and it's something that gives us evidences that that we are truly Christians, that we promote the worship to the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. So what we do is, because we're led by his Spirit, we're guided by his Spirit, we are anointed to promote the kingdom of God. And when we're doing that, we see the needs that are going on, we deal with the impoverished, and we commit ourselves to give. It's a spiritual act, a sacrificial act, and it is an act of worship, a sacred act. Hallelujah. So let's begin with passages of the scripture on the power of God's commitment to provision for us by our consistency and our faithfulness to give. Now, you know, there's a grace message that's out there. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But that also means, that's Romans 8:1, but that also means that there is condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who don't walk after the Spirit and who operate by the flesh. So you need to make certain that if you're led by the Spirit of God, that means that you're going to do everything in decency and in order, and that also means in your giving. And that's what we want to talk about in this particular lesson. Don't get mad at the word. If you're going to get mad at anything, get mad and not learn what your rights, your responsibilities are, and your role is as a Christian. And this is the lesson that we deal with, our responsibilities as a Christian. What is our responsibility? And as we look through the Word of God, we're going to see historically what men of old did and how we bring that into focus as relevance for today. Now let's go to five passages of scripture. Let's read them quickly. Proverbs 1:5 says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel." So the best thing you can do is hear me out before you tune off and go off and say, "Oh, all he's talking about is money." No, I'm talking about commission. I'm talking about being committed and being connected. That if you're connected to the Lord Jesus, you're going to be committed. And when it's time for him to commission you to go into ye all the world and make disciples, to reproduce yourself, you're going to be able to show them that you started based on generosity. You had a revelation of God's generosity towards you for the sacrifice that he made through Christ Jesus, and you're going to reflect that in your nature, in your conduct, your commitment to the faith, and in your consistency to the things of God. So a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessings of the Lord maketh one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it." When God's blessing, God's state of reality, released on you once you comply to his sovereign will, that's the blessing of the Lord. It bringeth wealth, it bringeth riches, it bringeth satisfaction, and it adds no sorrow to it. There is a difference when you're in the reality of God, which means that you're committed to the plans of God, the ways of God, and you submit to the will of God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 21:5 says that the plans of a diligent man, a diligent lead surely to plenty. The plans of the diligent surely lead to plenty. But those of everyone who's hasty surely to poverty. So you can't be someone who is easily swayed to do things. You can't be easily swayed to get off. You need to develop a plan from God and hear God as to how you should conduct yourself, especially when it pertains to giving to the Lord. Hallelujah. Then in Proverbs 21, verse 20, it says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choicest food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." So when you're building your house, there is a saving system. And that's the key to the solution of wealth on the earth. Developing a supernatural savings plan. Because in the house of the wise, those who execute proper applications of knowledge, wisdom, there are choices of food, there's stores of choices of food and oil, but the foolish man devours all he has. And then in Proverbs 37:21, the wicked borrows and does not repay. But the righteous shows mercy and gives. The righteous souls, mercy, and so if you are a part of the kingdom of God and you are committed to display the ways of God based on submitting to the will of God, you're going to be a giver because it says it in the word of God. And that's what we're talking about. Now let's look at the theology behind this. How do we get God involved into our financial decisions and choices? We give him a portfolio. We give him a portfolio. We have a personal portfolio. We have a savings financial portfolio. We have an investing financial portfolio. Those are four portfolios, and if you're really good, you're going to have a supernatural investing portfolio. You have natural investments, personal things. That means you get your house in order personally. You get it professionally done. That's your in your savings. You get it in your spiritual investments. You make certain that you're giving according to the scriptures, and then you also make certain that you give to God when God can speak to you. You have something that you can get divine investment, and it brings forth sudden returns. There are different types of offerings, and as we go along, we're going to talk about that even more. Amen. So God is requiring us to do several things. He wants us to be, number one, specific givers. Specific givers. And, you know, I have a challenge because of my little country accent. I'm saying specific, but I know y'all get what I'm saying. He wants us not to be spontaneous givers. He doesn't want us to be spontaneous givers. Because anybody who intends to build something sits down first and counts the cost according to Luke. So we don't just do things by impulse. We make sound decisions. And then there are strategic giving. That means there are times where if you're financially set, God can put you in a position where you can be sensitive to his spirit. And he says, "I want you to set up a strategy in this particular area and bring forth and allow the kingdom of God to be developed in that area." And you can do that either physically or financially or socially. And you need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God to be a strategic giving. And then there's another one, which is a systematic giving. And that is your role as a member. When you're a member of the church, you should be systematic. They should be able to count on you as an individual of when you're going to give. I mean, they should be able to count on the day. It should be systematic. It should be automatically debited out of your account or out of your statement. You should be a systematic giver, saying, God, this is what I have made a decision in my household to give to you and your kingdom. And if you're not doing that, this is the call of God and the reminder of God for you to be systematic. Why? Because it shows God that you're serious about his word. You can say, bless me, bless me, bless me. But if he knows that you're not going to give him the best, and you're not going to be consistent about the things he tells you to be committed to, not forsaking yourself, he's not going to give you any more to put in store. Amen. I got to go on. And then also, that he wants us to be, I think I said it, but if I haven't, I'm going to say it again. Strategic, systematic, he doesn't want us to be spontaneous. He wants us to be specific. But then there's also times that he wants us to have special giving. Special giving, and that is when there are significant times where you should give. You remember when God had told the prophet that the famine was going to come? He said, don't sow in this year. You know, he said, sow in this year because you're going to, something is going to come down the pipe, you're going to need it. Don't eat all of your increase. So you got to know what the timings of God is. That's why the scripture tells us to teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. The wisdom that only God can give. Now let's go into this, a little bit of theology of financial stewardship and just kind of deal with some things. And this is what we're going to get into, and hopefully we'll get into the offerings, the Levitical offerings tonight, and then we'll continue on the next broadcast. Well, we know that to be doctrinally sound means that the church's beliefs originate from God's word, and that the teachings is not a matter of opinions, preferences, or feelings. Neither should your financial decisions be. But it's based on spiritual truth. And this doesn't mean that we have to agree on the interpretation of every passage. No one has absolute clarity on every issue. But there's enough clarity revealed for us to operate on the truths, whether we agree with them or not. And that's what God wants us to do when it comes to our financial decisions and our financial stewardship. As it comes to giving. See, when we talk about, what happens is where your treasures is, there will your heart be. And as each man has purpose in his heart, let give. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, but God loveth a cheerful giver. Remember last week I told you there were six reasons why people weren't going to church because they didn't feel like it satisfied them. They didn't feel like it met their social expectation. Their sexual interpretation of sexuality was flawed. Their consistency was not in agreement with advancement of technology and so on and so on. And we talked about how if that attitude is brought to the table, you will not give. And men look upon the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. So God sees when you come to church and you don't give. He sees when you come to church. That's one thing that the church is not. Is not operating in integrity and not doing the things that constitute what a healthy church is, and that's what we're going to talk about in the curriculum. What is giving to a good church? Because if you can't give to your church confidently and trust that the decisions that are made financially are being done by the leadership, you're in the wrong church. You're in the wrong church. You got to make some evaluations as to why you're not being consistent or committed. But most of the time, it's not a matter of that. Most of the time, people have not made up to get to God on a consistent basis. They have made up their minds to systematic givers. Hallelujah. So they become systematic sinners before they become systematic solution givers to the things of God. Because it takes the Bible says that the gifts are placed in the body for the perfecting of the saints. That means maturity. That's what I'm doing in this teaching, saying God is requiring us to mature in the things of God. For the perfecting of the saints, but not only for the perfecting of the saints, not only to get us in a psychological solution, but also to get us in a physical one, for the work of the ministry, because there's work that has to be done. And in order for the work of the ministry to be done, someone's going to have to be touched in the heart to give to the things of God so that the things of God can be manifested on earth. It begins with a motive. That motive attaches itself to a methodology. That methodology, once it's enacted upon, gets some meaning. And when that meaning and that methodology takes place, based on that motivation, God will then put his supernatural on it and cause a manifestation to be created. But if that meaning, that methodology doesn't connect to a motive, then then whatever you do is not right. And God looketh on the heart, and that's why he doesn't prosper things that he doesn't sanction. People are wondering why they're poor, but they have not sought the Lord. But if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the Bible says all other things will be added unto us. Right? So the second point that I want to give you is the theology behind the financial stewardship and understanding. I ain't talking about no gospel of prosperity. I'm talking about a resolve that you're making to become consistent in the things of God, to be committed, to be connected, and then to be commissioned. See, God wants to commission us, but we have to be committed and connected. And that's what we're challenging. If we don't offer the convictions of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't bring something to the world that causes them to say, what must I do to be saved? They know when you talk to them. You can give them the little sinner's prayer, Romans 10, 9, and 10, but they know if you're really given to the things of God. They know if you're involved in the things of God. There's a different language on a person that sacrificially gives to the Lord. There's a different characteristic that comes out of a person that gives sacrificially to the things of God. And you can say a whole lot of things, but until they see that your light is shining by your activities, by your actions, by your attitudes, by your acknowledgement of your consistency to the things of God, they will not respect the words that come out your mouth. So instead of going to convert someone, make certain that you're first converted. And if you're converted, you're going to be committed and you're going to be connected so that God can commission you to the things of God. Secondly, the Holy Spirit gives divine guidance. That's what we need to understand. It is not a feeling that makes you shout. And the Bible never says that the Holy Ghost shall make you shout. And the Holy Ghost shall make you cry during praise and worship. And the Holy Ghost is a slow song when you lift up your hands and start speaking in tongues. That is not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is sent to lead and guide you into the truth. Strength and ability to accomplish God's purposes and plans. Anyone who chooses to obediently follow Christ will be a giver because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, which motivates generosity. Why? Because he points you to what God really needs done on you. When you really start working with the Holy Spirit, he's going to show you what you got to do. The work of the church, then, does not happen accidentally or in a chaotic environment. It requires planning and plenty of money in order to effectively accomplish God's will. You know, when they build those buildings for the kingdom of God, it's not just for it to look spectacular, but to be something that represents the nature of the kingdom of God. In order for that to happen, you still got to pay bills. The preacher got to pay bills. You would want your preacher to look good. You know, everybody talks about, you know, how the Catholic Church, they vow of poverty. Yeah, but them are some of the wealthiest poverty people I've ever seen in my life. The priests are clean. They have houses and provisions. And the same way should be in the other evangelical settings and the charismatic settings and all the Pentecostal settings, the word settings, and all the non-denominational settings that we have. And we need to be committed to giving to the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, do not muzzle the one that speaks the word of God. Don't put a muzzle on their mouth by not providing for them. It is right to give to the men and women of God. We'll talk about that in the next lesson. And so, but to hurry on, I've got a few minutes left. The church, hallelujah, the church is the body of Christ, and it is commissioned to complete the evangelistic plan for the world. And in the same way, Jesus is committed to providing the same benefits to complete his task that God afforded him at redemption, to see that plans come to pass, and that by planting churches, ministering to the needs of the people, and proclamation of the gospel, his mission is accomplished. The change that comes through our commitment of giving generously affects the world and brings glory to God. Now, I was going to give you the Levitical offerings, because I think it's important that we go historically. Let me give it to you, and then next week I'll expound on it. There are five offerings in the Bible that we see. We know that there's the burnt offering. There is the meal offering or the cereal offering. There is the peace offering. There is the sin offering. And there is the trespass offering. And we'll talk about that in the next lesson, and I'll give you explanation on each of them. But if you can't wait to get the next lesson, next week we'll be releasing the commentary called The Culture of Generosity, and that explains this in a great way. It's a 3-hour teaching, systematic study of the Word of God, where I'm able to give a little more time to go through line upon line and precept upon precepts of scriptures. I'm going to talk about the first fruit offering. Are they relevant to today? How we ought to give? Does the Holy Spirit, does the scriptures require the New Testament church to tithe? I'm going to be answering all of those questions to, in this particular lesson, but I am out of time, and I thank you for yours. I believe that your lives will never be the same as a result of the Word of God proclaiming. If we continue to discuss things as we're doing today, you're going to see a change in your life. But it begins with us making resolves to be committed, to be connected, and then we will be commissioned. Thank you. God bless you, and good night. Stay tuned for some more announcements.
To God be the glory for the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps you listen to me give you a little historical facts. You heard the hype in my voice. At the end of the day, you need to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Repeat after me, I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that God raised Jesus from the dead. I thank God for the work that he did for me.
If you just prayed that prayer, give us a call at our 24-hour prayer center, 202-709-PC4U. That's 202-709-7240.
Give to a ministry that's making a difference. Go to our website now, urbanglorycampaigns.web.com/partner with us, urbanglorycampaigns.web.com/partner with us.